This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Thursday evening, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. What a day it has been here on VSiN, as we have been live from the world-famous Rocco's in Omaha, Nebraska. As they like to say, the calm before the storm, Matt Eumanns, before everyone ascends upon that particular bar to consume many, many Jell-O shots before they head into the College World Series. Two games tomorrow, two games on Saturday to get it rolling there. Plenty of coverage for you as the show goes on. We'll check in back at Rocco's. Matt Grissom, our contributor for college baseball, will join us in less than 15 minutes. And then Derek Stevens, the man who's kind of running point down there, Matt Eumanns. He is not going to be with us here in studio. He's going to be live from our set at Rocco's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Derek Stevens, kind of the life of the party out there in Omaha. This is the first I've heard of a Jell-O Shots challenge. What is this, Tim?
They've been doing this for a number of years at Rocco's.
I was joking.
Oh. There might be some people out there.
Maybe we should put an odds board up on this and see who can drink the most. What do you think?
Can we get our own sort of we got Tony out there at the bar. Maybe we can get our own sort of Jell-O shot concoction on the air.
Or we could just do shots without the Jell-O.
Yeah, I'll just do shots of water.
Looks like a pretty good time out there in Omaha for the College World Series. I know you're fired up for college baseball, and we have some great college baseball guests on the show tonight.
We do, yeah. Aaron Moore will join us, the professor, in the third hour of the program. Matt Grissom, as mentioned, and then Derek Stevens. This was the, I believe, the makeshift odds board out there. I think we saw a little bit of movement towards the field, and from my understanding, the field was all of Circa employees. So I think that is a great bet.
Was that Wilbo?
Wilbo included. So I think 4-1 is the bet to make there. And I believe it was 5-1 yesterday, so some market money coming in. I don't know about you, but I would imagine Mike Palm and Bill Adey, you know, everyone out there likes their long shot bets. I don't think they're worth it. JVT, I could see getting a little frisky.
I told JVT, give him a little pep talk yesterday. I said, look, if you want to win this contest, you can. It's all about your mindset.
Believe in yourself.
He's got the ability to go out and win the Jell-O Shot Challenge. If he wants to win it, he can win it. It's up to him. Does he have the desire? Does he have the hunger or the thirst to put down the most shots? How about Paul Howard? 5,000-1 odds. That's hilarious. I said before, I thought Wilbo and JVT, I thought, were the top two contenders to take down the Jell-O Shot Challenge.
Yeah, I believe in Wilbo. That would be that's where I put my money on. So I don't know if Wilbo's going to stop by the set. Hopefully he will. And we'll give him that pep talk. I don't think Derek should be the favorite. I think Derek will be more of the facilitator. He'll be the Tyrese Halliburton of the Jell-O shots. He's going to be dishing them out. He's not going to be consuming them.
He's got to conduct himself like somewhat of a professional out there. He's not going to hammer the Jell-O shot challenge. I think this odds board is just pandering to Derek, kissing his butt, and making the boss the favorite.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's a fair way to look. You know, we don't make our boss the favorite. We made Bill Adey 15-1. So, you know, we don't do that. So
Bill's got to be professional out there too.
I know. I think
Bill, he's a smaller guy.
Bill's a terrible bet at 15-1. I've never seen Bill Adey take down a Jell-O shot.
He can drink.
Oh, I know. I've seen him take down some cocktails.
Bill can drink.
I have no doubt that he'll consume a couple.
When you're looking at a Jell-O shot contest like this, you got to go with the bigger guys like JVT and Wilbo, I believe.
Yeah, I think Wilbo's the bet to make, so maybe he'll stop by the studio or the set later on here in the program. But a cool setup, no doubt, and congrats to everyone involved. I know we've got lots of people down there, and the tomorrow's shows are going to be very lively as they lead into the first game of the College World Series. Matt, we've got Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. We've seen some movement in the odds board towards the total. I was on one of our radio partners today, Raiders Radio here in Las Vegas, and they asked, what's your favorite play today? I said, I like the under 6.5. Our friends at Stations Casino had it at -120 earlier today. Matt, as I look at the odds board this very second, 6 over our shoulder here at Circa, pretty much across town, the only 6.5 I still see outside of offshore shops. DraftKings has juiced it to -135 on the under 6.5. Now, maybe you get a goal from Brad Marchand less than a minute in, like you did on Monday night, Matt, and you could get under 7.5 in this one.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you got to look to play the live numbers here, too. But like you said, DraftKings got the highest number in the market, 6.5 under 135. I think you said Chuck Esposito,
yep,
our friend out of Red Rock Sportsbook. Stations has what, the lowest? Stations dropped to 5.5?
5.5. They were the best number if you were looking for the under earlier today at minus 20. And then I just looked, and they're down to 5.5, juiced heavily to the over at around plus 145. So
I talked to a sharp hockey handicapper last night.
Minus 145, I apologize.
Who really likes the under in this game tonight. Tim, why do you like the under?
I just, I mean, I am not, I am far from a sophisticated hockey handicapper, but as we've seen over the years, Matt, you see kind of open ice and the little desperation. I think this thing tightens up a little bit here tonight. So that's ultimately why I looked towards the under. Over has hit in all three first periods and all three games. Now, it was a little bit of a sweat to get there in game three, right? It was 5-1 in the last couple of minutes. The Panthers were able to make it 6-1. But I think you you get a pretty good effort from the Edmonton Oilers. But you mentioned it on Tuesday's show. You and I both have a little exposure to the Edmonton Oilers to win this series, Matt. And I'll just say Monday night was not very reassuring from that standpoint.
No, it wasn't. That was kind of my hedge with the Florida Panthers bet that night because I didn't feel good about the way the series was headed. Panthers had 11 power play opportunities in Game 3, Tim. That's the most ever in a Stanley Cup final game. You got to think the Oilers are going to be much more disciplined tonight. So far in this series, 7-9-7. That's the total goal scored in the first three games. A lot of sharp money on the under, though, heading into Game 4.
Update you on the U.S. Open as the first round continues at Oakmont Country Club outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Your leader right now, J.J. Spawn, 4 under 66. He's in the clubhouse, Matt. A strong day for J.J. as he went out early. A bogey-free round for J.J. Spawn. Birdies on 10, 12, 16, and 17. So he is your leader right now at 4 under par. Your betting favorite, ladies and gentlemen, someone that Matt Eumanns has a ticket on.
Who's that?
John Rahm. Now is your betting favorite at around 550.
I don't have a ticket on
him. I thought you did have a John Rahm ticket. No? Oh. Do you want a ticket on him?
Well, I wish I had at this point, but I wish I had Brooks Koepka too, 100-1. So if you look at this leaderboard right now, J.J. Spahn, Tristan Lawrence, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen, Siwoo Kim, Brooks Koepka, Sungjae Im. Did a little math here, Tim. Last night, if you could have predicted that as the leaderboard, the odds against that were 38 trillion to 1.
Is that right?
Yeah. Those being the top six players in the U.S. Open at the end of the first round today. Who the hell would have thought this is what your leaderboard is going to look like today after the first round?
And Scottie Scheffler is in the clubhouse.
7 back.
Tied for 54th, Matt. Here was his round today.
Yep.
Birdie 2, bogey 3, 4, 6, birdie 7, bogey 9. So a 37 on the front. Back 9, Matt. Birdie 11, bogey 13, bogey 15. A 73 today for Scottie Scheffler. He is tied for 54th. And where does he sit from an odds standpoint? He's still the second shot at DraftKings right now at plus 650. He's plus 110 to feed top five.
You can't bet Scotty at plus 650. You're a psycho if you do. 73 today for Scotty. He's 7 back. And nobody has won the U.S. Open when 7 shots or more back after the first round since 1998. That comes from Justin Ray. If you follow him at Justin Ray Golf, plenty of good stats up there. And I would have to wait. See if you can get a little bit better number. Survey the market, see if you can find a better number on Scotty. I did not bet $1 on Scotty Scheffler before this tournament. I did waste some dollars on some other bettors who were dead after the first round. I got a few alive, but mostly some players who were dead, some long shot plays who were dead, and Bryson DeChambeau, not dead yet, but the Grim Reaper is knocking at his front door because he shot a 3-over today.
Yep.
And DeChambeau also 7 back.
As you look in the top 10, Matt, Cameron Young, did you end up getting a ticket on
Cameron
Young?
I do, 115-1. But if Cameron Young wins this tournament, I would be absolutely stunned. I'm just stunned. He's not a finisher. He isn't. So I'm not getting excited.
He's wrapping up his first round. He was on the back to start his round. He's 1 under through 17. He's on hole 9 right now trying to wrap up his round. Jordan Spieth. He is currently tied for 13. An eventful day for him, Matt, as you look at his card. Lots of green, also lots of red there for Jordan Spieth. As he wrapped up his day, he had 5 birdies and 5 bogeys. Even par 70 for Jordan Spieth, tied for 14th.
So an albatross from Fat Pat Reed. I mean, I had a little bit of everything out there today. The dentist who was in the field started with the first tee shot today and hooked it so far left. I think it landed in, would that be Virginia? But he still parred the hole.
Really?
That's amazing. Yeah, it's been a very bizarre tournament to watch today. I was up watching very early in the morning, and it feels like a British Open because you have 168 bunkers, no water, no penalty areas. It just and you know, high fescue, fast greens. It feels like you're watching a British Open. And the this tournament today, I think, has been totally unpredictable.
Couple of names that we heard from people we respect: Sepp Straka, Shane Lowry, 8 over and 9 over,
I've
respectively. Shane Lowry, Matt, if he doesn't have an eagle on the third hole, good Lord. What a brutal day for Shane Lowry. 9 over 79, and yeah, he had an eagle.
That was my guy, Shane Lowry. He is dead.
Yes, yeah,
he
is dead. I think that one you can go out and bury. Hey, folks, we got a whole lot in store for you. We're going to head to Rocco's coming up in 5 minutes to talk to Matt Grissom, get us a preview of the College World Series. But football season is right around the corner, and we've got a great deal. If you become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, get a full year for just $199 and a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK to sign up.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. A couple MLB games that we'll keep our eyes on coming up in about 25 minutes. The Yankees and the Royals from Kauffman Stadium in KC. Tarek Skubal, your odds-on favorite to win the AL Cy Young, on the hill today for the Detroit Tigers. Top of the third inning, no score between the Orioles and the Tigers. And for those who like the Skubal over strikeout prop, which I believe was priced at 7.5, Matt, one strikeout through 2 innings. But Skubal, one who will could go deep, so we will see how that ultimately plays out. So once again, if you missed it throughout the day, we have a lovely set at Rocco's, which is just a stone's throw away from the College World Series. And we're going to head down there here in just a moment and connect with our guy, Matt Grissom, to help us preview the College World Series. I think they're working on his setup there from the bar in just a matter of moments. But Matt, we also have game four, of the Stanley Cup Final. And you and I were on the right side yesterday. It was nice. A couple winners there in the NBA Finals, so hopefully we can keep it rolling.
I'll tell you what, NBA Finals Game 3, much more enjoyable to watch than the U.S. Open Golf Tournament today. I'll tell you, the NBA game last night went almost exactly the way we scripted it when we talked about it the night before.
Yeah.
Right? Tyrese Haliburton coming back with a big performance. Pacers playing with a lot more determination, energy, and they get the win at home and take a 2-1 lead in the series. That's basically what we talked about the night before the game. You had a Haliburton prop. I had the Pacers. And the golf tournament today went almost exactly the opposite the way I thought it was going to go. So,
and Matt, if you actually
win one, lose one, what's that?
And if you listen to the fifth hour of Primetime on Tuesday, I said, take a shot on Benedict Mathurin to lead the game in scoring. I don't know. That's somewhere out there. We'll see if we could find those tapes. But let's head down to Rocco's outside in Omaha, Nebraska, and welcome in our guy, Matt Grissom. Mr. Grissom, live from Rocco's. What's the early count? What's your feel right now on Woo Pig Suey faithful and whether or not they will take down the Jell-O Shot competition there at Rocco's this week?
Well, at this point, I think Murray State is actually the underdog, thanks to one Derek Stevens, because Circus Sports and their partnership with Kentucky, Louisville, and Murray State have taken the early lead. But there is a flock of LSU fans waiting to get into this place, so I assume that the purple Jell-O shots will be flowing momentarily.
Hey, Grissom, I was going to ask you, you bet a lot of college baseball futures throughout the year. Where do you stand going into the College World Series? And if you did not have any futures bets going into this, who would you bet on in this bracket in Omaha?
So, like the majority of the people that cover the sport, I don't think anybody saw this field being the field of eight. Mm-hmm. I made a whopping 2 out of 8 correct picks to make the field. And I don't have anybody in bracket one. So I think that's where I would go if I was looking to add something at this point. I think you got to look at Coastal Carolina coming in on a 24 or 25 game win streak right now. And then you've got Oregon State, who hats off to them, because I really thought Florida State's pitching was going to be able to cool down this offense. They didn't. And now the Beavers are back. I like both of those two out of bracket one. And then as far as futures that I have in pocket, Arkansas, I bet them every which way from 14-1, 13-1, 12-1, all the way down. And then I've got LSU as well. So I wrote it up in the VSiN article. I think the loser of Arkansas-LSU, if you want to jump in, you may get some value on them if the books hang a bad line. Because I think either one of these two teams, looking at Murray State and UCLA in that bracket too with them, I think they've got the pitching depth to be able to come out of the loser's bracket and still find their way to the semifinals.
Matt Grissom joining us live from Rocco's down in Omaha. And those of you watching with us, you can see over his shoulder is Charles Schwab Field, where, of course, the College World Series will take place starting tomorrow and over the next 14 or so days. So you will be in attendance for some of those games. You'll be credentialed, checking those games out. Let's go to the games tomorrow. That is bracket one, as you alluded to. So bracket one, bracket two, they will not meet until the championship round. Arizona plays Coastal Carolina. Louisville plays Oregon State. Right now, Coastal Carolina around a 230 favorite. Oregon State minus 188. Anything tomorrow, Matt, that's going to be on your card?
I think there's a little bit of undervalued numbers on Arizona. I took them plus 1.5 on the run line. This is a team coming in. I think they're 9-1. What they've done since the Big 12 tournament is nothing short of spectacular. I mean, they had an up and down regular season, but they've really turned it on, and they've done it around a freshman pitcher in Smith Bailey, who I don't know if he'll get the start yet. That's the one game tomorrow that we don't have confirmed pitching for. So I like Arizona, assuming that they're going to go either Owen Kramkowski or Smith Bailey against Coastal Carolina, probably going Flukey or Morrison. And then Louisville and Oregon State, I still think the Beavers are the best team out of this side of the bracket. If you can get it minus 160 still, I would hit that. It's up to minus 180 at Circa in Iowa and minus 188 at DraftKings. So I like the Beavs to get it done. That one, we do have announced pitchers. It is Dax Whitney, the freshman righty for the Beavers, and Patrick Forbes for Louisville.
How about the LSU-Arkansas matchup? You're an Arkansas guy. How optimistic are you going into that?
I have a feeling that Arkansas and Jay Johnson is going to start Anthony Ianson. Arkansas's lineup struggles against righties, and that was the game, if you think back a few weeks ago, that was the game that LSU run-ruled Arkansas in, was Ianson's start, Cade Anderson's start. They won 5-4 in the 10th inning. If Anderson goes, I like Arkansas. If it's Ianson, no, I'll be all over LSU and then I'm back on Arkansas to win it all.
You know, Matt, when you look at totals, I think, Matt, you asked this earlier this mm-hmm. week to a guest of ours. You know, people think of the Rosenblatt days and the ball flying all over the park. Not necessarily the case. You look at these totals, they're a little bit higher than what you see in a Major League Baseball game, but not too crazy, right? You're looking at 9, 10 tomorrow. 11 is the peak, Murray State, UCLA, and then 9.5 for LSU, Arkansas. What's your expectation for the totals in these first four games?
I think there's going to be a lot of nerves. I think one bad pitch or a couple walks could be detrimental to whatever side. I typically stay away from totals, but I did bet one. It was under 9.5 in Arkansas at LSU. Again, we just saw this. If it ends up being Ianson or Anderson, Arkansas is going to struggle because one, Cade Anderson is a top 10 prospect in arms. And then Ianson is a legit ace on any other team. So as hot as Arkansas's bats have been, I still think that LSU's pitching staff is going to be able to keep them cool. And then we've seen LSU struggle against lefties. So I assume Zach Root's going to go for Arkansas. That's their ace. And they've got a plethora of lefties they can throw out of the pen. I don't see this game being more than a 5-4 type game.
Matt Grissom, who's live at Rocco's, where our set will be tomorrow and Saturday morning for Follow the Money, had shows earlier today. Right in his background, you can see Charles Schwab Field, where the College World Series will start tomorrow. Let's get to the only game we haven't touched on, the true Cinderella. That is Murray State, just the fourth number four seed to reach the College World Series. Pretty significant underdog against UCLA, around plus 210 if you want to take them on the money line. If you're looking at a spread, you can get them +2.5 runs at minus 125. Do you expect this racer magic to continue against UCLA on Saturday afternoon?
You know, I've been late to the party, I think, on the racers, but I did bet them +2.5. I watched them take BP out on the field. They look good. They're playing loose. They're the fourth four seed to make it. And I think there's a lot to be said about how the pressure of, you know, an Arkansas or LSU or Oregon State to come in here and win, they don't have that, right? They're playing with house money. I think the Racers, their offense is clicking at the right time. They've done a great job through the Oxford Regional, through the Durham Regional, with Super Regional with Duke. This team, you can't count them out. And we've seen UCLA. They've struggled in pitching at times. They've struggled with hitting. And I think the Racers' magic could continue. I don't think they're going to in barbecue.
Hey, Grissom, why are you not listed on the odds board for the Jello Shot Challenge? And did you take part in that?
He's actually a working media member down there.
We talked about that, though. I'm part of the field. Mm-hmm. I actually asked Jonathan Bontobel. I hung a terrible line earlier. I asked him over under 10 Jello shots for the day, and he was at 2. So I think it's a pretty Ooh. Weak.
JBT only
here.
Did two? Two? Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Stormy's beating him. But I think the field is the bet right now. Derek's giving all his away.
That's what I'm saying. He's a facilitator. He's Tyrese Halliburton. He's not going to be taking those shots. He's going to be giving them out to the people. Hey, Grissom, enjoy it down there, man. Best of luck to your pigs.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll try to get better lighting next time. My hat's kind of filling the vibe.
I guess I call them the pigs. It's Woo Pig Suey. It's the Hogs Suey's cheering for. Hear from Leon Draisaitl and his Oilers. Can they even up the series? We'll talk about that next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Thursday evening alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Coming up in a little over a half hour from Sunrise, Florida, the Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. The Panthers trying to take a commanding 3-1 series lead, even though last year, Matt, they got out to a 3-0 series lead and needed a Game 7 to ultimately hoist Lord Stanley Cup. The under money continues to come in, Matt. How about this? At our friend the Westgate Superbook, it is now 6 minus 10 both ways. So earlier today, it was 6 juiced under around minus 120, minus 130. And now, as we are 30 minutes or so away from puck drop, down to minus 110 both ways at one prominent shop here in Vegas.
Why do you think that is? Why is there so much sharp money on the under tonight when you've had a 7, 9, and 7 goals scored in the first three games of the series? We do talk a lot about the series tightening up as mm-hmm. it goes on. And yeah, I think the Oilers are going to play a much more disciplined game tonight, Tim, after you allow 11 power play opportunities. It's the high in a Stanley Cup final game in Game 3. You think Edmonton's going to come back and play a much tighter game tonight?
I would think that, and play a little bit better defensively. Do you see a better performance from Stuart Skinner? There was questions whether or not he would be the starter in net. He is going to be the guy tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. 63% of the bets over at our VSiN.com betting splits from DraftKings are on the over, but 55% of the money. Here at Circa, Matt, 60% of the bets are on the over. And interesting to note, now the number has shifted from 6.5 earlier today. 79% of the handle on the over. So maybe it is kind of an arbitrage type of deal, as once it got down to six, who knows. But as we continue to get you ready for game four of the Stanley Cup final down in Sunrise, Florida, that, of course, is a pretty darn big game, I would say. And that is what we get to here on our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Well, in game one, Matt, it was Leon Draisaitl to score the game winner in overtime. They came from 3-1 down, the Oilers did, to get that 4-3 overtime win. They scored a goal in the final 20 seconds of regulation in game two, but ultimately fell courtesy of a Brad Marchand game-winning breakaway goal in double overtime game two. And then game three, as we watched that on Monday night, was an absolute domination from the Florida Panthers. Let's hear from Leon Draisaitl as they look to bounce back in game four tonight.
Yeah, I think we pride ourselves in obviously coming up with an answer after a not so great showing. So I think we're all looking forward to tonight. We're a team that responds really well after I guess not so great games.
I guess not so great. It almost like he wanted to curse, but he's like, I'll see, but the not so great games, man.
He's being nice by saying not so great. I mean, he just wants to say that was a pathetic performance by the Oilers in game three. And it'll be interesting to see if they bounce back. You like to bet on good teams after blowouts or embarrassing performances. So I think maybe that would be your buy sign on the Oilers tonight if you believe in that. Like I said, I know a couple sharp handicappers love the under, but it was 6.5 when you're betting under that total tonight. Tim, the one thing, the concern I have for the Oilers is that they can't fix all the problems they got on defense. They can't fix the problem they got on in goal right now. You can't fix that in 2 days and just with a mindset. That's their weakness. The Oilers have a flaw. It's their defense and their goaltending. You can't fix that in 2 days.
You think back to last year, game four, the Edmonton Oilers won. They were in Edmonton, and they were down 3-0. They won that game 8-1.
Yeah.
So we will see. What is interesting to note, the three wins a year ago, 8-1, 5-3, and then 5-1 before ultimately in that game seven falling 2-1 as Florida hoisted Lord Stanley Cup.
Who would you bet on to be the Conn Smythe winner right now?
I think I would go Sergei.
Looks like it's headed the Florida Panthers way.
Yeah, I think I would go Sergei Bobrovsky. I don't see him on that list for some odd reason. I guess, yeah, that, hold on.
That's the, that was not the Conn Smythe.
Oh, there we go. There's Conn Smythe. I was going to say, that was maybe first goal score. Sergei Bobrovsky sitting at 7. Look, Sam Bennett scored a goal in the winter. He's now plus 105. Connor McDavid.
A lot of momentum for Sam Bennett to win this right now.
Yeah, Brad Marchand has scored a goal in the first, what, three games of this series. He scored less than a minute in, scored the game winner in game two. But, yes, a lot of momentum certainly for Sam Bennett. But I'll say this, Matt, if we go the rest of the series and Sergei Bobrovsky is able to get a shutout or another strong performance, I think 7-1, I mean, look, once again, I'm putting my hand up. Novice hockey guy here, but I think the way Sergei Bobrovsky has played the majority of this postseason through net in net, and if they're able to win this thing and he stands on his head against arguably the most talented offensive player in the league in Connor McDavid and company, I think that 7-1 is kind of an interesting angle to look at with the Bob.
I think that might be my favorite hockey cliche is stands on his head, because I've never seen a goalie actually stand on his head.
That would be cool, though. We did see, who was it, Amon-Ra St. Brown? He stood on his head of that touchdown celebration, didn't he? So.
I would say Bobrovsky 7-1 is worth a shot, but the problem is if you bet that and then Bennett goes out and scores a goal tonight, then you're
toast.
Screwed.
You're absolutely toast. If you do want to bet the 6.5, there are still 6.5s out there. If you're looking to bet the under, minus 135 is the juice you have to pay, but the rest of the betting market is right now – we need to get Jeff Sherman and company on the phone, because they must just be getting peppered with under money, Matt. They are now juiced to the under at the Westgate Superbook. It is now minus 115 to the under. So to put this into perspective here, folks, on the total, earlier today, earlier this afternoon, Matt, it was 6.5 minus 135. It is now 6 minus 15. So the Westgate Superbook is getting hit right now with some sharp under money. There's no doubt. Circa sits at 6 very slightly juiced to the over at minus 112. And DraftKings still has that 6.5 if you are looking to bet the under, which is a ticket I do have in pocket. I bet 6.5 under 20 earlier today with our friend Stations Casino here in Las Vegas.
I did not bet this game tonight. I actually thought about playing under 6.5 last night. Didn't bet it, and it's a little bit too late to jump in on that now. So we'll see if something pops up with a live betting opportunity during the game. But if you got to 6.5 under, you probably feel pretty good about it. At least you beat the market, right?
Got that CLV on our side. That's all
CLV.
That's all that matters, right? I don't care about winning bets. I just want CLV, baby. That's what I want to have in my back pocket.
You got under 6.5 at minus 110, right?
I don't know if there was a minus 110.
I thought you bet that. Okay.
No, I got minus 120. And that's what was out there earlier today, which I was surprised to see as the market started to kind of move that way. There were a couple of minus 120s out there. So that's the bet that I do have in my back pocket that we'll be sweating out. But once again, you know, here's the thing, Matt. When we were on the air, in the first period alone on Monday night, hindsight's 20/20, but you could have middled it. Where it got to 7.5 right after Brad Marchand scored less than a minute in. And then I want to say either late first period or early second period, the total got to 5.5, and ultimately it landed 7-6-1. So there was an opportunity out there from an in-game standpoint, and that's what we try to do here on VSiN Primetime is keep an eye on that. Matt, we do have a baseball game coming up here in just a matter of moments, so let's hit on this real quickly as the New York Yankees are taking on the Kansas City Royals. The Yankees right now around $1.25 favorite on the road against the Kansas City Royals here this evening.
No Aaron Judge in the lineup tonight. If you look at the Yankees batting order, it looks a lot different with no Judge in there, so I think that's why you're seeing the Yankees at a cheaper price. Makes a big difference, Tim Murray, when you don't have Aaron Judge batting in the number two or number three spot right there in the Yankees lineup tonight. So, positive start for the road trip. Great series for Judge, but he's going to be sitting this one out in KC tonight.
Yeah, so we will keep our eyes on that. Right now, 1-0 is the score. The Detroit Tigers have that 1-0 lead as Tarik Skubal now 4-0 as they plated four runs in the top of the fourth inning. So Skubal,
it's hard not to bet the Tigers every time Skubal pitches, right?
I mean, you got to pay a price, but Matt, right now they went off as 190 favorites at some shops. If you looked at them on the run line, they were at minus 120.
Would have been a better bet than Shane Lowry.
You're giving up? Giving up on Shane Lowry?
I'm giving up. Should have taken the money on Shane Lowry and put that on the Tigers when Skubal pitches. Much better investment.
9/79?
I think he's done.
Yeah, I don't know if Sugar Shane is going to bounce back here, but Skubal, lots of people keep eyes on that strikeout prop, and he has three strikeouts through three innings on the hill now. Pitch number a little bit high, up at 50. So we will see if Skubal is able to get to the window on his strikeout prop. But the Tigers, the best team in all of baseball, Matt Newman's, they are up 4-0 right now on the fair to call them the miserable Baltimore Orioles this year.
Yeah, I think 100 so.
100-win team 2 years ago, fired their manager. It's been a nightmare for the boys in Charm City there this season.
Yeah, I would say the Orioles, the Nationals, a couple of teams probably going nowhere, Tim. Just give up, Tim.
Shot to the heart. We got some young talent. Got swept earlier today. Scored three runs in the ninth, though. Mets completed the three-game sweep of the Washington Nationals. Hey, what did Rick Carlisle say about the point spread?
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, we'll play that for you on the other side. It is VSiN Primetime. Derek Stevens, live from Rocco's, will join us top of the hour.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Thursday evening as we watch some folks down in Sunrise skate around as they continue their preparation for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. The Edmonton Oilers down 2-1. Matt Newman's, we're seeing under money hit the market right now as sixes pretty much across the board, except at DraftKings that is 6.5 juiced under. And the Florida Panthers, depending on where you look, here at Circa, minus 140 favorites as high as minus 148 favorites out there in the betting market. So the expectation is for the Florida Panthers to make it a 3-1 series lead.
I'm not all that optimistic about the Oilers, even though I say many times you want to bet on a good team off a bad loss, and that would be Oilers qualifying, and that's a handicapping angle tonight. But I don't like their defense. Don't like the way Stuart Skinner's playing in goal. Don't like the fact that they allowed 11 power play opportunities to the Panthers in Game 3. I went ahead and passed on this game tonight, Tim. I think it's a tricky handicap because after watching the debacle that unfolded in Game 3 for Edmonton, you would say, well, I kind of want to come back on the Oilers tonight and kind of want to play this under. If it would be the first game of the series, it would stay under the total. I would lean Oilers and under, but I don't have much conviction in those sides, so I went ahead and passed.
What you did have conviction on was the Pacers last night. Mm-hmm. Shouts to you. You had the points. I did not bet the side. I was hoping, just fingers crossed, that maybe, just maybe, my pre-series bet could come home at -2.5 games. That officially died last night. But we did talk about it. Both you and I expected Tyrese Haliburton to have a bounce-back performance, and he did. He went over his scoring prop. He went over points and assists last night. He went over assists, however you wanted to play it. So it was a good night for the two of us as we were able to cash our tickets. And now we've got ourselves a series. And this was fascinating. You know, we had a moment on this show, I want to say a year or two ago, that our guy Timmy Chang went a little viral when he talked about the point spread and how he knew what it was, and he used it as motivation for his team. And there are a lot of coaches who know the point spread. They just don't probably say it publicly.
Right.
Rick Carlisle yesterday talked about the Pacers and the point spreads that they've been facing so far in this series. Here's the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, Rick Carlisle, talking point spreads.
We're going to be an underdog in every game in this series. You know, it was 10.5 in the first two games, 5.5 these last night, and then tomorrow. It's a daunting challenge. Anything less than a total grit mindset, you know, and we just, you know, we just don't have a chance.
Should have let him know, actually, Coach. In game two, it got bet up to 11.5.
Yeah. Game four, it's going to be 6, not 5.5, but that's all right. I love it when you hear a coach talking about point spreads. And, he's using that to motivate his team.
Absolutely.
Look, man. And that works. The thing about what encouraged me about the Pacers' win last night, and I've thought all along they could take this series to 7 games. They did not shoot the 3 exceptionally well last night, 9 for 27. They took fewer 3-point attempts, shot the lowest percentage they had in any game in this series. 9 for 27, 33%. But, Tim, they didn't have to. They were scoring at the rim against this awesome OKC defense. 44 for 85 from the field, almost 52% from the field last night. And the Pacers, I think, really found a way to break down that OKC D.
I mean, watching that fourth quarter, Matt, and you saw it, the Thunder were exhausted. And it was a lot of credit.
Why? And why?
I mean, it was a credit to the Pacers' tenacity.
Two days off. I mean, two days up between games, and why were they exhausted in the fourth quarter?
It just felt like the Pacers were getting after them. I mean, they were making them work. Think about the mistakes they were making. Look, you and I both love college basketball, right? I didn't know that T.J. McConnell would have a solid presence in the NBA, but he is a perfect role player for a championship-caliber team, and his plays last night – look, Benedict Mathurin was the story, right? Tyrese Haliburton was tremendous, too. But the plays that T.J. McConnell made, that inbound steal, Matt, was incredible. Alex Caruso, he's a smart player and as a champion as well, and just had a kind of a brain fart, threw up a pass that was lazy, and he scooped it up and made a bucket there. Think about this Pacers team, Matt, and the way that they play. I continue to call them cockroaches because they don't die. We saw it in every series so far, whether it was the comeback in game four or game five against the Bucks, whether it was in game one against the Knicks, game two against the Cavaliers, game one of this series, outscored the Thunder last night 32-18 in the fourth quarter. They are like a villain in a scary movie. You've got to kill them like 15 ways because they just don't go away. And, you know, credit to them to have a guy like Benedict Mathurin to score 27 points off the bench. I mean, think about his talent. He was a 6th overall pick just a couple of years ago. I'm sure he wasn't initially thrilled about coming off the bench, but so many of these guys just know their role, and you hear it all the time. Role players play better at home. Matt, Benedict Mathurin, TJ McConnell, you couldn't ask much more from them last night as they were great in that victory.
So it was Obi Toppin. In fact,
dunk? Oh, my God.
The putback dunk with 4:23 to go to put the Pacers up 107-100, I thought was the play. To me, to kind of clinch it, I said the Pacers are going to win this game. When Toppin threw down that putback slam, so the Pacers are going to win. Up 7 with 4:23, and it just felt like it was all headed. The momentum was headed their direction. They were going to keep it and not let it go last night. 116-107. Tim, how about that? The game stays under the total because OKC's offense was so bad in the fourth quarter last night.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Oklahoma City and got off to a good start. Indiana had a great second quarter. Response from the Thunder in the third quarter. That game last night, you know, all these morons that have platforms out there who told us,
oh, you know, the ratings are going to be down and this is going to be a boring NBA Finals. That's a great impersonation of somebody. I don't know who.
Somebody out there. Oh, okay. Some moron in front of a microphone. That's my moron voice. Last night was great.
That was good.
Game one, fourth quarter was great. Now, first three quarters in game one, not so great. But I would say overall, and I know we don't care about it. We care about cashing tickets on VSiN, which is the beauty of our network.
I don't
network.
Care about the TV ratings.
Who cares about TV ratings?
The wagering handles
Be
up.
Be entertained.
And if you're a basketball purist, you knew this was going to be a good matchup in the NBA Finals.
There's no stars. How about the MVP of the league? How about Tyrese Halliburton, who is, I think, a rising star in the league? He was great last night and helped us cash that ticket. And I think the point that you made is really fascinating, Matt, and correct. The Pacers won this game, and they did not shoot out of their minds. They actually shot poorly from three, 33%, Matt. And now you've got some soul-searching if the Oklahoma City Thunder. Heading into game four, and I said it prior to game three. You like the Pacers. I did not bet a side. I said, you better win this game if you're Indiana, and they did. Game on, man. This series is on.
Well, it's like I mentioned, we were in here a couple nights ago. If the Thunder lose game three, the doubt's going to start to creep into their minds that, hey, this Pacers team's a lot better than people think, and we can lose this series. I'm not really sure the OKC players came into the series thinking they could lose it. I know there's a lot of bettors that thought there's no way OKC could lose this series. But right now, the Pacers are live to win this thing.
They are, and they're still an underdog in the series, so we'll let Rick Carlisle know that he's
I kind of feel like, and somebody sent this message to me on Twitter last night, and I agree. I was thinking about this. The team that wins game four is going to win this series. If OKC wins game four, Thunder's probably going to take game five at home and find a way to win this series in six or seven games. Pacers win game three, they're winning the series.
I would agree.
Or game four, I mean. If they win game four, they're going to win this series.
Yeah, and you think about the pressure that was on Oklahoma City. Remember, they were in this situation against Denver. Now, the depth of Indiana is far better. There's no Nikola Jokic on the Indiana Pacers, but the depth of this Pacers team is far more significant and impressive than anything that the Denver Nuggets had out there. But the Thunder have had some pressure already this postseason, being down 2-1 on the road against the Denver Nuggets. But a fun one last night. Great cash by Matt on the Pacers. You are very live for your pre-series bets on Pacers and – or excuse me, Thunder in six and Thunder in seven.
If I had to bet on one thing right now, I'm glad I played it. Thunder in seven of 5-1 odds. I still think if you ask me how's this series going to turn out, I'm going to say Thunder's going to win in seven. But – I do think the Pacers are very live to win this whole thing. And the Thunder better get Friday night's game, because if they don't, they're in a world of trouble. And that's not going out on the limb. I think everyone sees that at this point. Even those who ripped the Knicks for losing to the Pacers have to admit, this Indiana team's a lot deeper, shoots a lot better, and is better coached than most people gave the Pacers credit for going into the playoffs, right?
No doubt. The Pacers have continue to exceed any expectations. Serious dog against the Cavs, against the Knicks, and massive dogs heading into this series. Still a dog at plus 190, even though up 2-1. Hey, folks, if you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one. stbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Once again, that's firstbet.com. We've got a beautiful set down at Rocco's in Omaha. Derek Stevens, the owner of Circa and Circa Sports, he'll join us live from that set next.